well, well. It's Tuesday, May 22nd, and a special happy anniversary to Mike and Kathy Malloy. They got the night off. I'm Jeff Farris. I'll be sitting in tonight on the Mike Malloy Show here on the Nova M Radio Network. Phone number 1-800-989-1480. Going to keep the lines open. Got a special guest coming up at the top of the next hour, Sophia, the maker of Mysteries 9/11 Part 1 Demolitions, will be joining us by telephone. And we'll be talking a bit about 9/11 Truth Movement and her work within it. Lots of things to talk about. The most disturbing to me is the Democrats caved today and gave the president the money he wanted for his occupation of the once sovereign nation of Iraq. Not too pleased about that. We also learned that the Bush administration, this comes from John Amato over at Crooks and Liars, Bush administration quietly on track to nearly double the number of combat troops in Iraq this year. An analysis of Pentagon deployment orders showed on Monday. A little-noticed second surge designed to reinforce U.S. troops in Iraq is being executed by sending more combat brigades and extending the tours of duty of the troops already there. The total number of U.S. troops in Iraq could increase from 162,000 to more than 200,000, a record-high number by the end of the year. We also learned that the Bush administration today officially outsources the capture of Osama bin Laden. They're spending, giving the Pakistani government $1 billion a year to hunt Osama bin Laden. How's that going, you may ask? Well, he's still out there, ain't he? I have some audio from Jim Mikleshevsky doing a report for MSNBC on that. I'll get to it in a little bit. We also found out the CIA has received a secret presidential approval to mount a covert black operation to destabilize the Iranian government. According to current and former officials in the intelligence community, officials say the covert plan is designed to pressure Iran to stop its nuclear enrichment program. What it's really meant to do is provoke Iran into a war. Don't kid yourself. And also, we learned that the plans are going through. They should expect to be done open in September, a 140-acre compound that will be the new American embassy in Iraq. $592 million embassy. Desk space for roughly 1,000 people behind blast-resistant walls. The compound is a symbol of both how much the U.S. has invested in Iraq and how the circumstances of its involvement are changing, hence the blast-resistant walls. Oddly enough, the embassy is one of few major projects the administration has undertaken in Iraq that is on schedule and still within budget. Yes, this is going to be a U.S. embassy in Baghdad, roughly the size of the Vatican. Rumor is you can see it from space, or will be able to see it from space. That's where we stand. There was a bomb scare today at Reverend Falwell's funeral, although I use the word Reverend loosely, Jerry Falwell's funeral today. A supporter of Mr. Falwell was found with a number of car bombs, four or five bombs planted in his car, made of gasoline and some detergent combination, that he was going to use to blow up members of Fred Phelps' group there protesting the funeral. I'm not sure how they're there protesting his funeral. I don't know. Are they going to accuse Jerry Falwell of embracing the homosexual agenda? I mean, that's usually what they're out there protesting about. You know what I'm talking about. Fred Phelps, Westboro Church. GodHatesFags.com is his website. why they're protesting at Falwell's funeral. I guess they figure it's the biggest marquee funeral out there, and they want to be there where the action is. But anyway, a follower of Falwell, a student at Liberty University, was inspired to try and bomb Fred Phelps and the Westboro Baptist Church people, but his plot was uncovered when a family member alerted the authorities. I said earlier today, I've hated Fred Phelps with a passion from the moment I first heard his name when he turned up protesting Matthew Shepard's funeral several years ago. But it never occurred to me to try and car bomb him. But I guess you have to, if you attend Liberty University, that sort of thing comes second nature.
If it takes 10 years, blow them all away in the name of the Lord.
So you're blowing them all away in the name of the Lord. On behalf of Jerry Falwell, that's the solution. Anyone who disagrees with you, your point of view?
If it takes 10 years, blow them all away in the name of the Lord.
So I think it's a fitting tribute that at Falwell's funeral, one of his minions, disciples, followers, whatever you want to call those sick little freaks, brought a bomb to the funeral. Conspicuously missing from the funeral, a Republican running for president. None of them attended the funeral. Not a one. Not even the three who raised their hands to say they didn't believe in evolution. Not a one of them at the funeral. Not John McCain, who embraced Jerry Falwell, spoke at commencement exercises at his Liberty University, trying to cow to the religious right in his run for president. Not even John McCain was there. Not a single Republican attended the funeral. Not a single Republican candidate attended the funeral. The White House sent someone. Trying to find his name. I'd never seen him before. I had no idea who this guy was. Some obscure fourth-tier White House bureaucrat. Probably one of those Regent University guys or something. You know, there's 150 of them working for the White House. Conspicuously missing from that list. The lawyer who's representing Monica Goodling tomorrow. Man, she testifies before Congress. She went out and got herself a real lawyer, not a Regent University graduate. But the White House, they don't need real lawyers. Abu Gonzalez. That's their idea of a lawyer. Kyle Sampson. Their idea of a lawyer. No, Monica Goodling got herself a real lawyer, and she will be testifying before the Senate tomorrow. Should be quite interesting. I can't wait to see Pat Leahy get her under oath, and Chuck Schumer, and that whole crowd at Justice. It should be a fun day. I'll be glued to my C-SPAN, that's for damn sure. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to open up the phone lines, take some calls here. I got Sophia coming on at the top of the next hour. We're going to talk a little bit about 9/11. I know that's rarely discussed in this time slot, so I thought I'd take advantage of that opportunity and open it up a little bit. Be right back. Stick around.
ashes spread to little thing, little sparrow, little sparrow, fly so high and feels no pain.
Hey, we're back. The Molloy Show right here on Nova M Radio Network. Jim Miglashevsky gave this report on MSNBC last night. Check this out.
It sounded like a good idea. Pay the Pakistani military to hunt down al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden, hiding in the rugged regions of western Pakistan. But after spending $5 billion over the past 5 years, Osama bin Laden's still on the loose, and the U.S. is left holding the bag.
And the question really is, are they taking the money but not producing the kind of aggressive military operations that are necessary?
U.S. military officials warn that's exactly what's happening. 8 months ago, in a truce with local tribes, the Pakistani government actually cut back counterterrorism operations in the West. U.S. military and intelligence officials fear that without aggressive Pakistani military operations, Osama bin Laden and his al-Qaeda operatives appear more safe and secure than ever. That's also left the area pretty much wide open for the Taliban to conduct cross-border attacks into Afghanistan, then retreat safely back into Pakistan. But U.S. money for counterterrorism still pours into Pakistan, more than $80 million per month. Perhaps worse, the U.S. has no control over the money to tell just how it's being spent.
We have no verification of it, so there's no way of really calibrating, really understanding what their operations are costing, what exactly they're doing.
Senate Democrat Jack Reed wants to change all that and make those U.S. payments conditional.
We should demand more for the support we give them. It's necessary to support them, but we should demand results.
But this is a delicate and potentially deadly balancing act. If the U.S. pushes too hard, it could risk undermining President Pervez Musharraf, a strong ally against terrorists in that region.
$80 million a month to the government of Pakistan for failing to catch Osama bin Laden. Unbelievable. What do you think $80 million a month would do down in New Orleans or the Gulf Coast of Mississippi or in Detroit? My God. It just never ends, does it? It just never ends. I sit down in this chair every day to do a radio show to talk about what's in the news, and the outrage just never, ever ends. $5 billion in 5 years. With no accountability and no results. Remarkable. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Greg in Sacramento. Greg, you're on the air.
Is that me?
Yes, it is.
Maybe we should start a new program called Progressive Therapy for those of us who are just about ready to blow a fuse.
Oh, man, I'll tell you.
Well, you know, I had a wonderful day yesterday, did some business, and it could potentially lead to a job, and I was just feeling really ecstatic, and then I come home, and I fire up the computer, look at Yahoo News, and then I see the Dems cave.
Yeah,
I was wanting to throw something.
Yeah.
You know, and I tried to call Pelosi's office. I tried Boxer and Fines and DiFi, all busy.
Mm-hmm.
All busy. And so I was cleaning my desk here, and I found what I think is Howard Dean's number, at least from what last report. And I figured, well, you know, if we're going to vent, if we're going to start screaming at somebody, let's call Howard Dean's office.
Mm-hmm.
You got a pen?
Sure, I always do.
202-863-8000.
That's the DNC.
Yeah. So, I mean, if anybody else has a different number, I hope they'll call and tell you. But I'm pretty sure I got this correct, that this is his number, 202-863-8000.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I even did get up until today DNC things from them, and I put just went down to the bottom and clicked unsubscribe.
Wow.
And I told them, I said, make sure Howard gets this. That this is how I feel. So.
Yeah. No, you know, I agree. Again, it's the DNC, not necessarily setting policy, but yeah, I think we should be out there screaming to everyone who will listen to us on the Democratic side that this is just not acceptable. We had an election in November. You were brought in there to make some changes here. This president has a 28% approval level. How much courage does it take to stand up to him and tell him no, God damn it? You know, it's just it's just so frustrating on so many levels. Yeah. Yeah, and again, I've already been criticized today for participating in a Democratic Party circular firing squad. But what else do we do? You know, I mean,
take drugs.
Yeah. I'm on the air for another couple hours, but
start drinking heavily.
There we go. Hey, Greg, thanks for your call, buddy. Hey, we'll be right back. Lots more of your phone calls right here on the Mike Malloy Show, Nova M Radio Network. 1-800-989-1480 is the number. Stick around.
I don't know a soul who's not been battered. Don't have a friend who feels at ease. Don't know a dream that's not been shattered or driven to its knees. Oh, but it's all right, it's all right, for we've lived so well so long. Still, when I think of the road we're traveling on, I wonder what's gone wrong. I can't help it, I wonder what's gone wrong.
Hey, we're back. It's the Malloy Show here on Nova M Radio. 1-800-989-1480 is the number. This is a real short one. This is more of your tax dollars at work in the war on terror.
The Los Angeles Times reporting that even though the CIA's secret effort to find Osama bin Laden is proving to be a bust, it's providing valuable new intelligence about how and where his terror organization is getting its funding. Largely, it seems, out of Iraq. The CIA operation revealing an alarming amount of cash for al-Qaeda that is coming out of Iraq, much of it in donations to anti-American insurgency groups, as well as from kidnappings of wealthy Iraqis and from other criminal activity.
Boy, what a coincidence. The CIA reports that al-Qaeda is getting its money from Iraq. Wow. Where's Iraq getting its money? From you and me, brothers and sisters. From you and me. So either the CIA's full of it and they're just throwing this crap out there to try and, you know, gin up the fear and the hate for al-Qaeda in Iraq to justify the new secret surge, or they're telling the truth and our taxpayer money is actually funding al-Qaeda. Take your pick. Let's go to Curtis in Osaka, Japan. Curtis, you're on the air.
Hey, Jeff, great to hear you, my man. I'll be brief. About a year and a half ago or so, some of the right-wing Christian crazies there in Phoenix bought out that station that was carrying Progressive Radio at the time.
I was there.
It over.
Yep.
Yeah, I guess you probably lost your job that day, didn't you?
Yep.
Converted it over to, the 8th or 9th or 10th Christian.
It was number 9 in the market, yeah.
Number 9, what a joke. And the call went out across the airwaves, and Terry Kotmiker over here in Japan and said, hey, what can we do about this? And, you know, it seemed to me at the time, I don't have much money, but I contributed a little bit to Howard Dean's 50-state program because that made sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was money well spent. I sucked up $100, and I contributed it to the launch of the KPHX thing there on that page where you buy the pixels. There's
this little, tiny
red balloon that links off to my business website. And I think that was money well spent. You know, people ask all the time, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? I'm so frustrated. And, you know, it seems like a drop in the bucket when the political candidates with their millions and gazillions of dollars want us to contribute to them. I'll tell you what you can do, truth seekers, and I have no interest in Nova M Radio, but what you can do is you can step up and you can join with Nova M and you can propagate Progressive Radio throughout the country. You can become one of these founders things. I think that's a cute name that's rather silly, but it's worth every penny of it. And you will see in a matter of months, just like I did when I sucked up a few bucks and gave it to KPHX on the radio, you will see that your money will make a difference. So get on board, for goodness sakes. I can't believe it. And join the Founders Club. The other thing you can do, by gosh, is support the sponsors. When I was on hold here, I heard an ad for Rosetta Stone language DVDs. The minute I get off the line here, I'm calling them, and I'm telling them I heard about it on Nova M, and I'm going to buy their language program. And to tell you the truth, the way things are going with this crazy thing that Bush came out with, what, today or yesterday, about this business, about how he's going to be the heat big kahuna when the stuff hits the fan. Mm-hmm. Of course, I don't see the difference between that and martial law anyway. It might be a good time, ladies and gentlemen, to learn another language. You might need to go somewhere like I've already done. I live in a country that happens to have universal health care and habeas corpus and a few other antiquated notions that I certainly miss back in the country. I stay active. I give money when I can. And there's no better place to support our future than to support progressive radio, and there's no better way to do it than to break out a couple of bucks. Come on, 10 bucks a month. That's a six-pack of beer just about. And support Nova M Radio and Mike Malloy and the people like Jeff Farias who are giving it their all. I thank you for your time, Jeff, and carry on, my brother.
Thank you, Curtis. I hope you don't mind if we cut that up and use it for a promo.
Do it anytime
you
want, my friend.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Thanks for the kind words. And a great thing Curtis did bring up that's really important, do support the sponsors. Or do let them know. Even if you're not ready to buy a washing machine, let them know that at least you're thinking about it and you heard about them here. It makes a huge difference, folks. Let's go to Garrett in Clarksdale, Mississippi. Garrett, you're on the air.
Hi, Jeff, I am a founding member of Nova M.
Thank you.
And I'm just in shock today. It seems like all the support I gave to the Democrats for the last 2 years went down the flusher today.
Yeah, and they're trying to deal with them, honestly. They're trying to go about this thing in good faith. And, we just hear there's a secret surge going on. You know what I mean? He plans on putting up to 200,000 troops, having 200,000 troops in there by the end of the year. At the same time, there's this one debate going on. The Democrats think they're debating and negotiating in good faith. He's escalating the war behind their backs.
Well, I live in a section of Mississippi that's extremely conservative in the northern section. And, where I work, everyone's going, see, the Democrats are going to fall. The Democrats are going to fall.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no.
Well, that was
my
first caller on my show earlier today. Somebody taunting, or a Limbaugh fan wanted to taunt me about the Democrats folding.
And, I just went, I just went and closed the door to my office and screamed, because I'm like, what are you guys doing? All you have to do is just say no money.
Yeah.
That's it.
You don't have
Nobody.
To say anything. You don't, have to, you don't have to say that. You just don't have to say anything. You make him come back, ask for it again. He's the one who's trying to get the money from them. Why they feel the need to accommodate his childishness and his petulance, I have no idea. But they do.
But, $80 million a month.
Yeah.
And Pakistan's not in a good position. I mean, one bullet and Musharraf's gone, and then we have a crazy nuclear weapon.
Yeah, I guess so, 80 million buys a lot of protection, I guess, but for what?
But we wouldn't have had to do that if he had done the job right the first time.
Yeah.
And gone into Tora Bora and not outsourced it to other people.
Local warlords. Yeah.
So I support you. I'm glad Mike is having his second anniversary tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But I can just imagine what he'll say tomorrow night when the nuclear warhead goes off in him, But today is just a very dark day for the Democratic Party, and I don't know. I mean, what are they going to do? I mean, are they going to ever stand up to this man?
That 28% approval rating is pretty intimidating, apparently.
How
much courage does it take to stand up to somebody with a 28% approval rating and tell them no? You've had your war. You've screwed it up. You're done. How much courage does it take to say that, really?
Well, they're afraid that when 2008 comes,
they'll all be Max Cleland. Yeah, I know.
They'll all be Max Cleland, but I don't think that would be the case if he just said no.
Yeah.
We're bringing them home.
Right. The country's already turned on the war. So somehow, Democratic leadership hasn't figured that out. I don't know what it's going to take to convince them, other than elect new leaders in 08.
Well, I don't know, but I enjoy listening to you always, and I enjoy listening to Mike, but I just had to call because I'm sitting here in my home ready to just blow the roof off, you know.
Yeah, I hear you. And if the, you know what, if that's I'm going to have Sophia on it in about 50 minutes, but if that's what people just want to do tonight, just call and vent. come on board. Come on and just yell, because I haven't been this angry in a long time. I'm just so thoroughly frustrated and disgusted by my party, the party that I've been since I was a Democrat for years before they let me register. So I've been a Democrat my whole life, and I'm just so ashamed of my party today. So,
well, I don't know how Pelosi's going to explain it to. I mean, I have Thompson here in Mississippi, who's
Benny
very
Thompson?
Liberal, and I know he's not going to vote for the thing because I'm in the Delta, but. You know, but I don't know how Pelosi's going to explain it to those people who supported her for speaker when she said, oh, we're going to end this war, and now she's just giving Bush a blank check.
Yeah, yep. Unbelievable. Hey, thanks for your call, Garrett.
Okay,
you take
care,
safe, buddy. Let's go to Chris in Oakland. Chris, you're on the air.
Hey, Jeff. Remember a couple of months ago or whenever that whole UVT Virginia Tech shooting happened?
Uh-huh.
Flesh Rim Job goes on the air and tries to say that that Cho Sung-hui guy was a liberal.
Right.
This is a liberal, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. He's a liberal. I wonder what Rush would have to say about one of these Falwell supporters running around with car bombs in his trunk.
Right. Yeah. No kidding. Unbelievable, isn't it?
It's sickly, sadly, and somehow sweetly ironic. And I think it's a quintessential example of why you should not have religious fundamentalism involved with your government.
Right.
It is a total poster child incident for against theocracy.
Right.
It's unbelievable to me. And also getting back to what Curtis sort of touched on his call, but that was a great call too, about this national security whatever directive 51 that was put on the 9th.
Yeah.
I want to urge people on the show, if I can speak directly to the listeners for a second, folks, go to your computer and download a copy of your Constitution. I'm sure a lot of people that listen to this show are pretty well familiar with it. But download a copy of it now and print it out and tuck it away somewhere safe, because I've got a real bad feeling that it's becoming an endangered species.
Yeah.
You know, while the vast majority of the American public is enthralled with who's left on Survivor and how much of Idol or whatever, and how much of Britney's hair she's grown back, we're just marching right toward a dictatorship, and everybody just stares at their TV screens. You know, it's like
apparently that's what Al Gore's book is about how Americans are so disengaged with the process, and the media doesn't report what's really happening for people to us to come together as citizens and actually be a part of the process and make smart choices about the things that are going on in our life.
Did you see the interview with Diane?
Oh yeah, Boyle? And then at the end of it, she goes, "Oh, so are you gaining any weight? Or are you losing weight? You got to be freaking kidding me!"
He had questions. He's like, "This is what I'm trying to tell."
Right.
Hello, Diane. This is what I'm trying to talk to you
right.
about. She's like,
Diane Sawyer. She used to be a journalist. When I was a much younger man, she was actually a journalist. I remember Diane Sawyer. You know, it's mind-boggling to me. Absolutely mind-boggling. Hey, I got to take a break, Chris. Thanks for your call today, buddy.
Keep it safe, brother.
You too, man. Hey, anybody wants to check out that National Security Presidential Directive, NSPD 51? It's on my website from yesterday's show. Just go to the Monday, May 21, and you can click right on it, read it for yourself. You will not believe it. But hey, what the hell, you know? 28% approval. What do we need Democrats for? Be right back.
Nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. So quiet yourself and stop that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us. Kindly point that gun the other way and hobble, hobble, hobble off and hit the hay.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow is a busy day. We got things to do. We got eggs to lay. We got ground to dig and worms to scratch. It takes a lot of setting, getting chicks to hatch. There ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here.
Sadly, there ain't nobody there but them chickens. Capitulators. Cowards. Whatever you want to call them. Failing to stand up to arguably the worst president in the history of our republic. Now currently has a 28% approval rating in general in America, even lower when it gets to the war specifics on the war in Iraq. Yet the Democratic Congress that so many of us worked so hard to get elected last November just gives them the money. Here, take some more money. Go waste some more for us. Let's go to King David in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Welcome, sir.
Yeah, hello. Was that Cam Calloway?
No, Louis Jordan.
Louis Jordan, yep. Okay. Yeah, the two did fairly similar material.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Anyway, was that $80 million a month?
$80 million a month to Pakistan to not catch Osama bin Laden.
You do know that in the 90s, that was what Warner Brothers paid for street drugs per month for their roster.
Really? Wow.
So the corporations would be able to afford it. There was something that was revealed on MSNBC that I thought you might get a kick out of tonight. Because you were on with your show when Olbermann was on doing his on MSNBC.
Right.
And he indicated that now he does a show on ESPN Radio as well.
With Dan Patrick every day, yeah.
Right, and he's and he does that from the same facility that has the studios for WABC Radio in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And today he was waiting to go on with Dan Patrick, and he stepped in the washroom. And he said, that once he went into the washroom, he realized that they piped in the sound for WABC Radio. So if you're in the washrooms at ABC, in the afternoons, you hear either Limbaugh or Hannity.
Wow.
And you have no choice in the matter.
Wow.
And I'm wondering if maybe that's a policy to make sure that anybody who goes into the washroom stays there only as long as it's absolutely necessary.
There's a brewery here in the valley that used to do that, and they wouldn't play Rush Limbaugh, but they would play stuff like Montavani and just like the worst kind of bad elevator music you could possibly imagine, incredibly loud in their restrooms, so people weren't congregating in there and hanging out and doing drugs or anything, you know. So it's a good strategy, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I wonder if this might actually be a variation on something that that Harlan Ellison once wrote in one of his essays, to the effect that the perfect bathroom reading is the National Review, because you cannot get a minute and 45 seconds into any article in it without succumbing to the temptation to throwing the bloody thing across to the other wall.
Encourages a speedy reaction. Yeah, no kidding.
You know, just stop and go, I guess. Yeah.
Well, I look forward to seeing that Oberman piece. I TiVo him every night and watch him usually when I get home or first thing in the morning. He's a great source for material for my show. So
yeah,
I always check in with him. Hey, King David, thanks for your call today, buddy.
Right, you too.
Good talking with you. Let's go to Alan in Miami. Alan, you're on the air.
Hi. First, I want to say a quick hello to you that I saw you in Phoenix during the anniversary celebration, but didn't get a chance to speak to you. There was just such a crowd.
Well, thanks for coming up.
But I stood out there right in front most of the time and got to speak to a number of people, and I wanted to congratulate you on that. Now, about the rest, why people are surprised at this crowd, this group of the Democrats, I can't even imagine. I don't understand why people are surprised. They talk about the ratings of the president and all this stuff. This isn't about logic.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's time for us to really look at this situation hard. They throw around fast and easy these words about supporting the troops, about courage, about defending the nation and all this stuff. You know where the line in the sand is? The line in the sand is in Washington, D.C. on Pennsylvania Avenue. Right. And the people who are there to defend this country right now from the worst threat this country has ever seen are sitting in that Congress. They should lay down their lives on Pennsylvania Avenue because they're the only ones who can stop the greatest threat that's ever occurred to this nation. And that threat is a domestic threat by this administration. Let's stop mincing words about this.
Excellent point. And I think it was Upton Sinclair who said, when fascism comes to America, it will come wrapped a flag, a cross draped in a flag. And that's exactly what we got to have here.
I have an answer to what we can make them do something.
What's that?
And I tell you what, you get 100,000 or 200,000 people tomorrow to register in the Green Party, and you'll see impeachment on the table next week, and you'll see the cut of funds.
Gotta let's go, Alan. Thank you, buddy. Hey, we're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show here on Nova M Radio. I'm Jeff Farias, sitting in for Mike Malloy tonight and tonight only. He's having an anniversary. He and Kathy are celebrating. So I'm here holding down the fort. I got a very special guest joining me by telephone right now, Sophia. Sophia's a filmmaker. You're probably aware of the film Mysteries 9/11, Part 1, The Demolitions. Sophia made that film mostly on her own, and it's quite an impressive piece of work. If you haven't seen it, I urge you, get online right away, get out there and check it out. Sophia, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jeff. I just want to correct you. It's 9/11 Mysteries, not Mysteries 9/11.
You know, that's probably why I had so much trouble Googling. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Yep, a great film, a great film. I guess maybe before we get, I know you've been going in some other directions, but before we go down that road, I'd like to just talk a little bit about the premise of your film and let the listeners hear a little bit of, you haven't been on the Malloy Show before, have you?
No,
okay.
I don't think so.
So just let our listeners know a little bit about the inspiration for the film and the what the basic premise of what you were doing was.
Well, I had a live show in Hollywood with my friend Brad, who opened our movie.
Mm-hmm.
He is the conservative Republican who went online and was trying to debunk the 9/11 alternative story and only found to his enormous chagrin that it wasn't a false. It was actually the only way things could have happened.
Mm-hmm.
So Brad and I got together a couple of years ago, and we put together a presentation of video evidence with a live narration, and we were invited to the Met Theater in Hollywood, in California, Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the red carpet Hollywood. This is more the theater Hollywood. And we were very successful, amazingly, in front of an audience, convincing people that there was a lot of doubt around the official story of 9/11. And people in their deep selves know that the official story is very, very weak. In mm-hmm. fact, if there's any conspiracy theory, it's probably that one. So we put this show together, and there was interest from all over the world. People wanted a DVD because they didn't know how to travel to L.A. to see it. So I took on the task of making the DVD, and I ended up making only part one, Demolition, mm-hmm. a full 90-minute movie, because as I started wandering into that territory and really trying to flesh it out to make it kind of a cinematic experience, I realized that it was enormous. So it warranted its own movie. Therefore, I created 9/11 Mysteries Part 1, Demolition.
Mm-hmm. It's a very fascinating film, and it's a very it's very even-handed film. It's you don't come into it with a political premise at all. You're basically just looking at the science of what's going on. You show us an event on film that we can all see together. Talk about the official. Here's the official story, and here's why the science of the situation does it back it up. So it's a very If I'm talking with somebody who has no experience, hasn't really seen anything on the 9/11 Truth Movement or anything, that's usually the first film I recommend because it doesn't it doesn't hit you as hard with a political point of view. It's more just a very academic, maybe is the wrong word, but a very very detached almost look at the science here. Look at what your eyes tell you versus what you've been told happened here, and it's just a really fascinating approach to this issue.
Right. It's a fact-based look without being dry. Mm-hmm. Those were my intentions, to make the thing as logical as possible, to invite as many people as possible to the discussion, and also pepper it with witness testimonials, because there were many, many people who had a lot to say, who were people who don't necessarily disbelieve the official story, but they're on film and video all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So I took what they had to report, and I kind of arranged this along with a scientific analysis of how those towers might have fallen. Mm-hmm. And science doesn't change. It doesn't favor one team one day and the next team the other day. It's pretty much incontrovertible. It's a standard, just the way the English language is a standard, and we shouldn't say I was laying down under the bright rays of the sun, as people do today.
Mm-hmm.
The word is lying. Mm-hmm. Anyway, science is a standard. And
although in the last, say, 5 or 6 years, we've been led to sort of even question science. The fact that, if we look, just to jump aside for it, the global warming debate, there is 5%, maybe probably less, of scientists throughout the world, very highly well-funded by ExxonMobil, who disagree with global warming. And then the other 95-96% of the scientific community says there is a problem here. And in our media, the argument is that they both sides deserve equal time.
Right. You know, I've worked in both. I worked as a medical writer and in the legal field. And I learned in my 20s that people were willing to say anything as long as you paid them to say it.
Right.
So the laws of science, however, are pretty standard. Objects accelerate at 9.8 meters per second squared. And those towers fell, and we can see this on video. They fell in approximately 10 seconds.
Right.
And they are one-quarter mile high steel buildings with a double frame. And so how does that happen? It can only happen if something is helping them to fall.
Right. It has to be, and it doesn't happen by accident. It has to have been a planned occurrence. It had to have been blasting out the floors as they go. And that, you know, that, again, the film goes into great detail. If somebody who hasn't seen the film, by some chance, or somebody out there listening hasn't seen the film yet, what's the best way for them to get online and see it right away?
911mysteries.com.
Okay.
And you will see it in the left margin, the video. You can see it in Spanish, French.
Wow.
There's loads of subtitles, Swedish. It's being subtitled by people all over the world, which is pretty amazing.
Speaking of which, I just saw something somewhere online that it was screened, or is it going to be screened in Belgium at a film festival there?
It did get screened at the Liège Film Festival in Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
And also the international television rights are starting to sell, which is very, very gratifying.
Oh, wow.
The foreign markets are quite interested in this, and they are willing to screen this movie for their audiences.
Mm-hmm.
And our media is perhaps more controlled. That's a diplomatic way of saying it. So I don't know that it will air on our big major networks anytime soon. However, I was interviewed by NBC.
Wow.
And the History Channel is going to put out a documentary on the 9/11 skeptics movement. And they interviewed a lot of people in 9/11. And I believe this is going to air in July or August. So I'm very interested to see how they're going to frame it. Because they're going to show in their, quote-unquote, very impartial History Channel way, both sides of the argument. So 9/11 Mysteries will be featured in this documentary. I'm not sure what the title is, but it was pretty amazing to be contacted by NBC, who is making the documentary on behalf of the History Channel.
Wow. That's amazing. That the fact that they'll actually listen to the other side of expose that side of the argument to the mainstream. Wow, that's a huge step. That's remarkable.
Right. Again, you don't know how they're going to frame it. They could make us all look like Looney Tunes. But it's reached a level, it being this movement. It's a very grassroots movement. But it has reached a level that cannot be ignored by the mainstream media. You know the old, I think it was the Gandhi series of predictions. First they ridicule you, then they laugh at you. Then there may be another stage that I can't remember, and then you win.
Right, and then they fight you, then you win, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So we have to look at our world in every way. It's being changed. There's a creeping takeover. Everybody agrees that people around them are bizarrely scripted. They're automated. They're disinterested in anything except their paycheck, their next TV program, and their can of beer. And what I find amazing is that the people who are observing this are not willing to admit that anything has taken hold of them. And they don't have to be 9/11 people. You can go up to anyone on the street. You ask them if they're an independent thinker, and the first thing they'll say is, well, of course. And then you ask them what they think about certain things, and they don't have independent thoughts.
Interesting. Hey, Sophia, we got to take a break here. I want to come back and I want to talk a little bit more. I think you're sort of leading into what the focus of your work has been more lately in terms of how we may be being manipulated psychologically as well in regard to this 9/11 and many other things in our culture. Anyway, we'll be right back with more with Sophia. Stick around, folks, for the Mike Malloy Show. Hey, we're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show. I'm here with Sophia, the filmmaker who did this amazing film, 9/11 Mysteries, Part 1, Demolitions. Sophia, you've been sort of the focus of work has shifted somewhat. You kind of hinted at it as before we're going off to break. Most of us do consider ourselves very independent-minded, but you're finding evidence that we're being manipulated somehow. Expand on that a little bit. What are you finding out there?
My focus has not necessarily shifted, it's expanded. 9/11 is just one portal into a very enormous picture. And there are many, many deceptions going on at the same time. We are not being told the truth about an awful lot of things.
Right.
Where do I even start? Why are they insisting on vaccines for 12-year-old girls against cervical cancer? Why? We have to start asking those questions. What's in those vaccines? How are we being targeted? I don't mean to sound paranoid, but there is a program that is definitely reshaping humans such that they are being standardized. And if you are a manufacturer, it makes sense that you want all your little parts for your product standardized so that the conveyor belt machine system can assemble all of them. If you have anything that's off by 1 millimeter or 1/100th of a millimeter, it's going to mess everything up.
Right.
So they want human beings standardized as well, because when you standardize objects, they're much more easy to regulate and control. They want us to think the same thing, wear the same clothes, shop at the same store, be the same.
Mm-hmm.
And when they have us the same, then they can control us more easily. And there's more to it than this. But I just ask people to look around themselves and see how diversity is being washed out of our world. We used to have hundreds of varieties of apples,
mm-hmm.
and we have 6 or 7 in any supermarket, and they're all the same size.
Right.
You
and, they all kind of taste the same, too.
Yes.
I'm fine. They all have that delicious apple, kind of sweet thing to them, as opposed to the more tart apples like the Macintoshes. And the, interesting.
Huh. Yeah, diversity of any kind and all kinds is being eliminated.
Right. Well, and you also notice that, you know, if you travel around the country, things used to look very different from town to town, but now every main street in America kind of looks the same. It's got a Kentucky Fried Chicken, it's got a McDonald's, it's got a Starbucks, it's got a Walmart, it's got everything, our environment is becoming homogenized as well.
Right, and that's only because it's easier to predict.
Mm-hmm.
What we're going to do and control what we're going to do. And so then you have to ask yourself, why are we being controlled?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we being standardized? And what is going on in the way of all these different deceptions? What are we being deceived about? And I believe that once you start asking those questions and you recapture your own thinking, then you can't be controlled. But the secret is you've got to start asking questions. You cannot accept things on their face anymore.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
9/11 being one. 9/11 is simply an invitation. If you believe that 110-story steel buildings can tumble to the ground and become powdered, I'm not just talking falling down. I'm talking powder
mm-hmm.
in 10 seconds, then you believe in magic.
Yep.
So you have to ask yourself, what enabled this? Well, there are demolitions of large buildings done all over the world, and they're done in a certain controlled manner, using explosives.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to ask yourself, is that what could have happened on 9/11? And when you examine the video, and the video was shot by loads of camera people from news stations.
Mm-hmm.
It was happening in front of their eyes. And you see the little... the little puff just banding around the building. Every floor is puffing out little puffs. These are rows of explosions. What else? How else do you describe them?
Right. Yeah, you can, and actually one of the things that your film points out, you can actually see these little, they call them squibs in the industry, firing all throughout the building as you go, and when you'll be able to isolate it and look at it. Sophia, I got to take another break. Is that okay?
Sure.
All right, we'll be right back with more of Sophia, filmmaker of 9/11 Mysteries, Part 1, Demolitions. We're talking about 9/11. Be right back. We're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show here on Nova M Radio Network. We're talking with Sophia, a filmmaker, and we're talking about 9/11 issues, and we're also talking about how our consciousness is somehow being manipulated.
It's called social engineering.
Social engineering. Now, like most Americans, I saw what happened on 9/11 and was just horrified. It had a deep emotional impact on me. I was just a wreck emotionally for weeks on end. And then a month or two later, when I actually saw the footage of the event, and I saw a picture of the Pentagon on fire with a small hole in the side of it, and thought to myself, where's the airplane? Where are the wings? Where are the engines? How are they able? How are we able to be manipulated to such a point that we don't even believe what we see in front of us. We don't even believe our own eyes. We were all told that an airplane hit the Pentagon that day, even though there is no physical evidence to support that, and the vast majority of Americans still believe what they were told, even though their eyes have told them something else.
Right. And, Jeff, you did quite a remarkable thing. You asked yourself a question.
Mm-hmm.
And you explained something to us just a second ago or a minute ago about your emotions. You were emotionally freaked out mm-hmm. for months, you said.
Yeah.
And this is how we are first, I'll call it targeted. It is by way of our emotions. And we respond emotionally. And then we create a belief based on those emotions. The emotions are very strong. If I ask you to recount to me the plot of a movie you saw 5 years ago, you're not going to have an easy time doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But you will be able to tell me how that movie made you feel. Emotions lodge in memory, in our experience. Facts do not.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first level of manipulation is emotional. And then you're probably in a very small percentile of the population. You scratched your head and you went, huh? How did this happen
right.
regarding the Pentagon and the small hole? Mm-hmm. But many, many people didn't do that. You know, when my mother, who lives in New York, told me on 9/11, and one of the buildings just collapsed, my response was undisguised scorn and disgust. I said, that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the last reaction I had to it. I patently refused to watch any television about this because I knew on some level that it was bogus. But I didn't pursue it scientifically. I didn't create any inquiry of my own, and I can't tell you why. For 2 years, I didn't think further except to believe that it was ridiculous. And today I kick myself. I could have known about this a lot earlier, mm-hmm. but I didn't. And you did.
But when it happened, I mean, it was almost like something, I mean, it was a physical, something almost snapped inside my head, and all of a sudden it was very, very clear to me. but I had believed something completely off it, and just assumed because, again, like you said, it was a very emotional, a very wrenching moment when that stuff happened. And I guess, you know, our minds just fill in the information, and we construct this concept within our head. Even though we're looking at it, we all saw it that day, and that didn't occur to any, you know, very few of us, I would say, on the day of, suspected or felt something, you know. It was just, the first film I actually saw on this, I saw Dylan Avery's and the Loose Change film, and that was an incredibly profound event for me, to actually see evidence that there actually may have been something sinister going on here was incredibly a profound moment. But again, once that barrier is down in your mind, you can see things fairly clearly, but it's such a hard thing to reckon with, and so many people fight it so much. I get a lot of resistance about talking about 9/11 type stuff, and it still baffles me, the resistance to it.
Right, and I'm going to give you an example of the resistance. This is prize resistance. You tell someone how this really happened,
mm-hmm.
and they tell you, well, I don't believe that. Even if that were true, I wouldn't believe it.
Hmm.
Think about that statement.
Right.
Even if that were true, I wouldn't believe it. This has been said by many people. People have said this to me.
Wow.
So what does that say about us? It says we don't want to believe something because believing it turns over our whole world.
Right.
It doesn't turn over one belief. It turns over all beliefs. And this is what makes the ingestion of 9/11 so difficult for so many people. Its implications.
Right, it implies that not only that they no longer trust their eyes or their emotions about anything. And that was the first crisis for me. It was like, oh my God, this is the same image as I saw the day of it, but now I understand what I'm looking at, and it's just such a revolution inside your own head that I guess it's just frightening for a lot of people. I guess I don't know. I'm not sure.
Right. I mean, people really I had a friend tell me the other day when I was scolding her about why she wasn't interested in 9/11. She was congratulating me that foreign rights were selling to my movie. Mm-hmm. I don't call this my movie. I made this movie for everybody. But I said to her, don't congratulate me. Ask yourself instead why you're not interested in this. Mm-hmm. And her response to me has always been, I just want to have a nice life.
Wow.
And I tell her, where is your nice life? You're a school teacher. You're having to buy chalk and supplies for your schoolroom out of your own money.
Yeah.
Where is your nice life?
Hmm.
So on all levels, we are in denial. The school teachers who purchase these materials are wrestling with a reality that they're not being supported in by the public. The public's children are going to the school. And so I ask the American people, what is it going to take for us to march up to the plate, as they call it, and say, we want this, we want this, we want this. We kowtow to everything that mm-hmm. is told to us. We murmur behind our hands that we're not happy about it. But we, and I'm not calling for revolution. I'm just saying internally, within yourself, you have to stop lying to yourself. That's step number one.
Wow. And the giant step.
Yes.
That is the hardest step and the biggest step is that first step is to allow yourself to see things clearly, or allow yourself to question your previous self, I guess is one way to look at it.
Well, that's right. And a belief can change in 1 second flat.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It doesn't take anything else except your own will. And once you open to another belief, then you really become transformed. And what we're calling for here is transformation. We need to create a new world, mm-hmm. and it has to start with ourselves. We have to create a new world in which we live. We, one person. We don't want to live in the world that dictates to us how we must be. We don't want to be scripted anymore. We don't want to be shaped. We don't want to buy something just because an ad is on TV.
Mm-hmm.
We want to buy something because we want it, and we believe in it, and we are behind it. Someone said to me a long time ago, every dollar is a vote.
Hmm. I like that. I like that. Yeah. Wow. You want to take some phone callers?
Sure.
All right. Let's go. Holding longest has been Dorothy here in Phoenix. Dorothy, you're on the air.
Hi, Jeff and Sophia. This is really a good conversation. I was wondering if your DVD or the part of it might be shown on the Sundance Channel, because they show pretty independent stuff from time to time.
Well, honestly, I don't know that it's ever been submitted, and it would have to go through probably a review process and a formal submission process, and I have not myself submitted it there. But I can look into it.
That's a possibility, because sometimes, like 9/11, Fahrenheit 9/11 was on there,
mm-hmm.
and other of Michael Moore's movies, and it wasn't anywhere else.
Right.
Well, it has been on public access TV in many different states and many different cities.
And you say I can find it online?
Yes, you can find it online, 911mysteries.com. You can watch it online, but remember, that's low resolution.
Yeah.
If you watch it on your computer, that's one kind of experience, but if you buy the DVD, and I do sell them quite inexpensively, you can then share it with friends. You can have a discussion at your house about what this movie is presenting.
I have done that with Loose Change and with Al Gore's movie, and that I've shared it with friends and family who will watch it. You know, some of my family won't, like you say, they won't even listen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we need to ask them why they're afraid. We need to engage them in that conversation first, because any refusal has to do with some kind of fear.
It must be a real, really big fear.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember when 9/11 happened, I watched George Bush in that second class grade, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. room,
yep.
and he did nothing.
Yeah.
And that made me more suspicious than anything the first day. Because
right,
the president is always taken away
right.
by the FBI.
If there's a threat, usually they snap into action. And
they don't even ask him.
They weren't sensing a threat for those 7 minutes he sat there in that classroom, which leads you to wonder.
Oh, that immediately.
Yeah.
But see, Dorothy, you are exceptional. You asked yourself that question that day. How many people failed to do what you did because they believed what they were expected to believe and what they were being shaped to believe? This is my thesis.
And still, it took a long time for me to process that thought that our own government might be doing it, you know?
Well, the other way that you can better accept that is that it wasn't just our own government. This is a big international plot. There are an awful lot of people involved, and they're not necessarily all American.
The shadow government.
Shadow government, all kinds of entities who benefited. And when you look at the money in 9/11 and you start connecting the people who benefited, that gives you a better picture of why this was done.
Well, I know when I was still working as a nurse at the VA, here in Phoenix, my hobby is painting, and I started to paint Sedona Mountains, and you know they turned out to be the high rises in New York.
Wow!
They turned out. I mean, paintings just kind of act on their own, and I could tell how deeply it had affected me by that.
Wow.
Well, art forms do have a life of their own, and I feel that there's an element in my movie that I didn't put there myself. It was created by something much bigger than me.
Dorothy, thanks so much for your call tonight.
Thank you.
Take care. Hey, can you stick around for one more segment, Sophia?
Sure.
I really appreciate it. I want to get a couple more people who have some questions for you when we get back. On the Mike Malloy Show on Novum Radio. Stick around, folks. Lots more.
Together, we were on the ball. We did not believe in the writing on the wall. We did our best work in the dark. We did our thinking on the run. We would hang together, or they'd hang us one by one.
Back. It's the Mike Malloy Show. We're speaking with Sophia about 9/11 and our perceptions and how those perceptions are being manipulated. I'm sure you're familiar with the film What the Bleep, Do We Know?
Oh, I have to tell you, I saw it 7 times.
Mm-hmm. It very much ties into sort of what we're discussing, because I think most of us don't realize that our brains create so many shortcuts for us to understand and perceive reality. And when you sort of look at in that context of what we saw on 9/11, you can start to understand how we can be manipulated.
Right. We are observers in the universe. That the physicist will tell you, the metaphysicist will tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And particles, subatomic particles, apparently can be in two places at one time, but they're only in one place when they're observed. So we need to be observers instead of reactors.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot just react to things. We have to observe them first.
Right. Excellent point.
Observation is what creates awareness. And awareness is what employs, meaning puts to use, consciousness. Have you heard it said that we only use 4% of our brain?
Right.
Okay, so if the world as we know it and see it with all this strife and this, you know, competition and conflict and war and killing and hatred and this discordant environment, that we're all in, if this is the result of our using only 4% of our brain, then where's the solution?
Right.
Well, it has to be in the other 96% of our brain.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we access that? By creating awareness and employing consciousness. And 9/11, the invitation to look differently at 9/11, is an awareness exercise. And that incorporates and employs and puts to use your consciousness. So then you go to 5% of the brain, 6%, 7%, 8%, and then you're in the realm of solutions.
Interesting. Fascinating discussion. Let me grab a caller here. I got Jake in Arcata, California. Jake, you're on the air with Sophia.
Hey, Jeff. Yeah, I'd just like to comment on my experience and how I found out about 9/11. But first tonight, I saw something interesting. Katie Couric on the CBS Evening News is known for being perky. Mm-hmm. Actually, got angry tonight. She pointed out there's a poll of Arab Americans that says only 40% of Arab Americans believe that Arabs were responsible for 9/11. And she made the point that, well, the FBI said that all 19 were Arabs. You know, mm-hmm. Of course, they didn't point out the fact that 9 of those guys were found to be alive after 9/11, according to the BBC and The Guardian and other news sources. And when I saw what happened on 9/11 was that morning, you know, I was watching TV, and I saw the coverage of the first, they came on, showed the first tower on fire, and a couple minutes in, the second plane hits. Mm-hmm. And then about an hour later, they show the first footage at the Pentagon, and like you say, Jeff, small hole, no plane wreckage, no
right.
marks on the lawn.
No wings,
obviously,
no engines, yeah, yeah.
Looks like a missile hit the building, okay?
Yeah.
And so I knew from that day there was something very wrong with this story. But what I watched for the next year or two in America was a very scared group of people who let racism blind them, frankly. The story about the Arab hijackers with the box cutters
right.
is as silly as the story of the magic bullet with the JFK assassination, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But people were told for years and years, when you watch movies from Hollywood and you watch TV, you see Arabs, you know, displayed as terrorists.
Right.
Okay, so people will easily believe the story. And, you know, I personally, you know, am an Arab American who actually passed as for white. My maternal grandfather is Palestinian. And I watched, you know, some real ugly stuff take place in this country against Arab Americans and immigrants. And now you look what's happened, you know, with the Mexican immigrants. It's just there's a very scary, almost proto-fascist climate that is responsible for a lot of this blindness that we see, unfortunately, on this issue of 9/11.
Interesting. Do you want to respond to that, Sophia?
Yeah. Well, I think everything you're saying is right on. And you have to just ask yourself, why are people so ready to be scripted like this? And ask them to ask themselves that question.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Sophia, can you stay around a little more?
I can stay as long as you want.
Good, good. I can't let this topic go. So, hey, stick around. We're going to have more with Sophia. Jake, thanks a lot for your phone call. I really appreciate you listening in. Thank you for contributing as well. We'll be right back with more of the Malloy Show right here on Nova M Radio. Stick around, please. Back. It's the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Jeff Farias, sitting in for Mike Malloy tonight. My website is jefffarias.com. Check it out. You get links and information about what we're talking about tonight. And tonight we are talking with Sophia. Sophia made a film called 9/11 Mysteries, Part 1 Demolitions. A fascinating work. If you haven't seen it, go to 911mysteries.com or 911mysteries.com is the website. Check it out. Download it. Order the film. See it. Share it. It is an incredibly impressive piece of work that will change the way you think about things. I guarantee that much. Welcome back, Sophia.
Thank you.
Hey, I have more callers. Let's just jump right to a phone call, and we'll go from there. I have Sanchez in Montebello, California. Sanchez, welcome.
Yes, good evening, Jeff. Good evening, Sophia. I want to be very honest. Thank you for staying over, and thank you for taking this particular call, because I have to tell you, Sophia, when I heard you talking about consumerism and standardized behavior, you made my day, quite possibly my week, because as of yesterday, beginning with this news we heard about the National Security Directive and the presidential powers that Bush has now, I've been in a nasty mood. So just talking about that and just reaffirming what I truly believe, I have to say bravo to you, Sophia, for that. I have two questions for you. The first one is in regarding standardized behavior. Did you happen to be watching the Today Show, NBC Today Show this morning?
No.
Oh, you're going to love this. The latest example of consumerism and our standardized behavior are these brand new video screens that you wear like a pair of glasses. They cover up one of your eyes, almost cyborg-like or almost Terminator-like, where you're getting to watch your video, whether it be from Fox News or whatever corporate source of broadcasting it may be. But you're watching this directly on your eye as you are walking down the street. This is being sold in Japan right now, and the Japanese model was walking down the street with this device on her right eye, and from all visual points, it appeared to me she was almost in a catatonic state as she walked down the sidewalk. And you know how addicted Americans are to their high-tech toys, and I can just see this instantly becoming a hit here. So would you consider that another form of standardized behavior?
Well, of course. And you also have to think about what it's going to do. If you only use one eye, you lose your depth perception.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So this is not a coincidence. So imagine, it's almost like driving and talking on your cell phone. You can't concentrate on too many things at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're fascinated by whatever's coming through that goggle thing you're wearing, you're not going to notice your environment. So you're really opening yourself up to further programming.
Exactly. Wow. Exactly. I found it most alarming because of that. She did appear not to be able to be walking comfortably, as if she was not quite used to it. But I would have a feeling that the brain, as adaptable as it is, might be able to somehow rewire itself so we can use more brain power, perhaps maybe 15%, to be able to take this on. And it'll just become another item, just like those Bluetooth telephones that people are already walking around in their ears with. So it's just another example of that. But my other question was specifically, in your documentary, are you offering commentary specifically about what happened at the Pentagon? Because like you, Jeff, I feel the same way. There's one incident in particular. Again, I'm familiar with the PNAC agenda and how we needed a Pearl Harbor-like attack in order to unify the military against what the agenda that PNAC was trying to attempt. So when I see the videotape, what limited sources I can see, of the blowback, the smoke that rises in the air, it doesn't rise in the air like a large plane hitting a building. It rises in the air like a small cylindrical object. So do you have anything in your documentary that addresses that particular item?
Well, this particular movie is part one of a series, and part two will be Hijackers and Planes.
Okay.
And so part one is just demolitions, and it concentrates on the Twin Towers.
Okay.
But there's also another documentary you can see online, the Pentagon, PON.com. Pentagon.
Oh. Okay.
And they have a very interesting theory about what happened at the Pentagon. And they have done more witness interviewing than anybody.
Yeah.
Those two guys. They're from Orange County.
Yeah, they were amazing. They were out here in Phoenix for the 9/11 accountability meeting we had out here back this winter, and had just completed this promo for the film. It was just stunning what they've uncovered. So
yeah.
Check them out.
And to reaffirm one other comment here, and I'll let you guys go. these people are, right now it's what, 70%, 28% still supporting this war.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to put dollars to donut that there is at least 20% of those people that in the back of their minds, because they are so fearful that the truth is going to turn over their safe little worlds, those people are aware of what's going on, but they live in fear.
Yeah,
right.
Quite possible.
Fear is the big deal.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're banking on and using and manipulating. And I'm going to tell you something. A wise man told me that our natural cooperative instincts are knocked down competition, further knocked down into conflict, and further knocked down by manipulation, social engineering, into the lowest form that a human being can exist and on, and that is eat or be eaten, kill or be killed. So that's what we're seeing. We're seeing cooperation come into competition, come down into conflict, come down into war.
Wow, amazing. Sort of our lizard brain, as they refer to it.
Yes, and it's all reflex and
right.
It's all programming.
Interesting. Hey, let's go to Robert in San Francisco. Robert, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jeff, it's great to have Sophia on tonight. Sophia, San Francisco 9/11 Truth Alliance. I may have met you at the Herbst Theater in Veterans for Peace years ago when we were putting on some of the early 9/11 stuff in 2002, perhaps.
Perhaps, but I don't think so, because I never went to the Herbst Theater.
Oh, you haven't been there?
No.
Well, in any case, you're one of our heroines here in San Francisco. We really appreciate you putting that work out there. And it's funny, people were holding that space. I mean, one of our people was out there in October of 2001, and I showed up in the winter of 2002, and we didn't have any authors. We had a videographer who was putting stuff together, but there's a lot of things that have been produced regarding 9/11, and the most important thing for listeners to realize is that we do have actual evidence. We have the proof that this administration is involved in 9/11 up to their eyeballs, and there are probably three other countries in the Middle East, Israel, Saudi Arabia, and Pakistan, that are also involved, probably Israel more than anyone else. There are 26 dual Israeli citizens in the first administration. Chertoff, who is head of Homeland Security, has an Israeli citizenship. So people really need to look at who benefits from this. Big oil, it looks like their thing was just to leave the oil in the ground, get a seat on OPEC, move out of Saudi Arabia to make bin Laden happy, and prevent the euro from becoming the currency that Saddam Hussein was going to trade his oil with. So there's this whole strategy. If you read The Grand Chessboard by Zbigniew Brzezinski, he came out 10 years ago, and in that book, three times it appears this phrase, a catastrophe on the order of Pearl Harbor needs to occur within the United States in order to galvanize the American people into an imperial mobilization, democracy being inimical to imperialism. Now, he sits on the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission, tight with Rockefeller and all the big boys. So this, like you're saying, this is an international, global, ruling elite thing. And the only thing we can do, there's many things that we can do, but the main thing we can do is demand and support constitutional government of the United States. For another investigation in 9/11, and apparently Kucinich is gathering information and evidence to have a hearing in September regarding this. We need to really support and encourage him to move forward with this because, like I said, we have the evidence already.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And
we have that, but who's going to believe it? We need to get enough American people willing to think independently and think critically, which is not what they do right now.
Right.
Well, it's a critical mass, Sophia. We have people at West Point and Annapolis and General Kevin Burns a few years ago was confronted with the pretext to attack Iran, and it was a training exercise. He was in charge of training exercises and military doctrine, and his subordinates said they analyzed the situation and said no and made a plan to move against the conspirators. And because they're spying on everybody, it was shut down. He was fired for a flim-flam reason. But the thing is, like Smedley Butler, it's a critical mass. It's the certain people in certain places. The admiral in charge of CENTCOM came right out and said he will not attack Iran on his watch.
Mm-hmm.
So we are making a difference. By getting it out there, there is a thin line. I've talked to police. I've talked to them for years. And I went to a movie about a month ago, and I spoke to him, and he said he said to me, we've known for years 9/11 was an inside job. 75% of the police and probably all the firefighters that they care to believe the truth understand what the deal is. And we need to really get straight with the value thing.
Hey, Robert, I got to take a break. I got the music playing. Sorry, buddy.
All right.
Thank you so much for contributing. Hey, Sophia, I want to keep you around for one more segment, okay?
Sure.
Thank you so much. We'll be right back with more Sophia here on the Mike Malloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories concerning the attacks of September the 11th. Malicious lies that attempt to shift the blame away from the terrorists themselves, away from the guilty.
I guess it's un-American to investigate the facts. Let's just call it a conspiracy theory. Especially those FBI agents that have gone public about George Bush telling him not to stop Al-Qaeda.
Hey, we're back here with Sophia, a filmmaker who made 9/11 Mysteries, Part 1 Demolitions. And we're talking about a whole wide range of things related to that fateful day. And a bigger issue is to how the public seems to be being manipulated. Our very minds, that thing that we grasp and thing that identifies us, who we are as individuals, is being manipulated and controlled. Sophia, welcome back.
Hi, Jeff. I would also use the word scripted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's all about really sales. If a person is exposed to something between 5 and 8 times in the way of advertising, you're very, very likely to break down and buy it.
Interesting.
So if a message is repeated enough times, then your mind will accept it to be true. They even say if a lie is repeated enough times. I don't particularly like to use the word lie because I think lie, crime, deception, all this, these are words that, you know, repel people. They don't want to be told they've been lied to. So mm-hmm. I'd like to invite them in other ways.
Interesting. I think that's a. I think obviously words are important, and choosing the right word is a way of. Obviously, we have to do a sales job on our side of it as well to sort of break that programming in a sense. Let's go to Steve in Folsom, California. He had a question for you. Steve, you're on the air.
Hey, hi. I was just wondering if you had looked into the funding of 9/11 at all. Who funded it and some of the major discrepancies in that regard.
Sure, that's the Who Benefits. My part 3 of my series is Who Benefits. So it takes an awful lot of money to produce these movies. I'm a person who has, you know, there are no holds barred as to what I'll spend to make it really a movie experience. So part 1 costs so much that I have to wait till I recoup enough in sales, so I encourage people to buy it. So that I can do part 2 and part 3. But yes, that's all crucial.
Well, I was referring a little bit more to the actual funding. There, according to cooperativeresearch.org, which is an excellent site, Omar Said Sheikh, well, one of the things that the 9/11 Commission did not look at is who actually paid for 9/11. And when you look at who paid for it, you get into the Pakistani ISI, their secret police, and how their secret police had been funded by the CIA, by Charlie Wilson. I'm sure you're familiar with Charlie Wilson and the activities of Howard Hart and others in Afghanistan. But Omar Said Sheikh, under the his alias that he used an alias when he was he sent $100,000 to Muhammad Atta.
Mm-hmm.
He'd even wired money the day before 9/11, and evidently his controller was Lieutenant General Mahmoud of the ISI. Now Musharraf fired Mahmoud on October 7th, 2001, and it was reported in the Indian press and other papers that Mahmoud was fired for his role in 9/11, and evidently Mahmoud was Omar Saeed Sheikh's paymaster. Now, Omar Saeed Sheikh...
I'm going to interrupt you for a second.
Okay.
What religion is Pakistan? What's the national religion?
I have no idea.
Well, it's very important that you find out. Jeff, would you like to tell him?
Pakistan, I believe they are they Muslims, I thought.
Right.
Primarily Muslim, yeah.
That's right. In fact, they have the highest percentage of Muslims in the world.
Yep.
So, who are their best friends?
Well, I think
I got to go to break. I'll hold both of you over, okay? Steve, let me hold you over. Sophia, we got to take another break, okay? We'll be right back with more of the Mike Malloy Show. Stick around, folks.
I would not run from this rain. I'd see it as an engine, as old, as into.
Hey, we're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show here on the Nova M Radio Network. I'm Jeff Farias, sitting in for Mike tonight and tonight only. He'll be back tomorrow. Here with Sophia, the maker of 9/11 Mysteries. Go to 911mysteries.com and get a copy of this film if you have not already. Please do so. We're talking with Steve from Folsom, California, and we're having somewhat of a follow-the-money discussion. Steve, Sophia, thanks for sticking around.
Sure. I was asking Steve, and then you clarified it.
Mm-hmm.
Pakistan has historically aligned itself with the Arab nation.
Right.
So I would submit to you, why would a Muslim country, because they're both Muslim, Arabs are Muslim, and Pakistan is a Muslim nation. So why would one Muslim nation frame another for this 9/11 event? If we look at false flag operations, this is very unlikely. So I would call this the second official story.
I don't think one Muslim nation framed another Muslim nation. And by the way, religion has really, you know, politics can have everything to do with religion, but religion has zero to do with politics. It's the politicians who infuse religion into politics, maybe the other way around. But anyway, the point being that a Muslim nation did not frame another Muslim nation. What I was saying is that if you look at Charlie Wilson, if you look at the funding of the ISI, where the money came from for the ISI, the fact that Omar Saeed Sheikh and Mahmoud were closely allied with the ISI and its ties to the CIA, and the CIA was funding the Mujahideen, this Zbigniew Brzezinski, beginning with Zbigniew Brzezinski in 1979 and beyond, the United States had been funding Muslim terror, and that's why this is called blowback. And you can, you know, if you look at the commissioner, the commissioner of the 9/11 commission was Philip Zelikow,
right,
who is now Condoleezza Rice's foreign policy advisor, surprisingly.
And he was working for Condi at the time as well.
And Zelikow had said that with regard to Iraq, why would Iraq pose a threat to the United States when the real threat was to Israel? But Zelikow was the one who said that the 9/11 Commission was not going to consider the funding of the attacks.
Again, I submit to you the second official story. You got to do a little more research.
Well, I don't get your point. I mean, if there's a movie coming out in December called Charlie Wilson's War.
Mm-hmm.
It's an excellent film about the money trail, and there is a money trail to follow. It has not been followed, and that's really my only point. When
right.
it comes to Muslims framing each other, I have no opinion on that. I do appreciate what you
well,
say.
Well, you didn't know what religion Pakistan was to begin with.
Well, because there are many different sets. I mean, you can't just say it's a
no.
Muslim. I mean, what has religion
research.
Got to do?
There
it's
not
like saying,
a lot
it's
of
like saying, it's like saying that Jews and are, you know, that all Jews are Zionists. all Zionists are not Jews. You know,
what was the predominant religion in Pakistan?
I think that's we're getting a little off track here. I think there's obviously ways to follow the money, both in terms of how Atta and his group were funded, but also we could also look at, you know, a lot of the things that were done with push options on the airlines and all those things.
Right.
There's a lot of evidence that ties our government and people working in our government to the finance of what's going on. And Steve, thanks so much for your call tonight. I appreciate it. Hey, Sophia, thank you so much for being with us tonight as well. I got a bunch of other callers on hold here. Some have been here almost as long as 2 hours. We had some other topics they want to get to. So I'm going to try and squeeze those folks in the last 20 minutes or so of the show. But thanks so much for donating so much time to us tonight. And
Jeff, I appreciate it, and especially letting me discuss the engineering aspect of our society, because I think that's fascinating.
I think it's I do as well. I look forward to talking to you next time. Thanks, Sophia.
All right.
Take care. Sophia and I have developed a friendship over the last year or so since the first time I interviewed her. Found out we went to the same college in New England and have sort of forged a friendship. I always have a fascinating conversation with her. And I know Mike doesn't spend a lot of time talking about 9/11 issues, and so I wanted to try and bring her on to expand on that a little bit. So fella's been holding here for quite some time, Gary in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Gary, thanks for hanging in there, buddy. What's on your mind tonight?
You know, I've enjoyed the program. I almost hesitated to stay on because it was more important than what I had to say. You know, what I was originally calling for, let me just postpone a second here and just two comments. You know, regarding this 9/11 mysteries or whatever, you know, I've been forever wondered how in the world a government that's inept in so many ways as ours could come up within a day pictures and the names of the hijackers.
Yep.
Is beyond me.
It was that day. They had Osama bin Laden's name, and they had the 19 photographs up on the TV screen before night fell on September 11th.
Yep. Yeah. And the second thing, I've been up in the towers a couple of times before, you know, and when you're up on the top and realize how tall those buildings are, the chance of them falling straight down and not flipping over to the side or tilting over, you know, falling off to the side or something. I'll tell you what, that you know, is causes somebody to have a pretty good. That was just more than happenstance.
Right.
Anyway, what I called in about was back at the very beginning, somebody called about the Founders Program and what we can do and so forth with the nonsense that's going on today. I'll tell you what, I'm so glad that I joined that early and I think the other thing that I do, I'm a relatively just a simple truck driver, but I take and support monthly about a dozen different small radio programs, Mike Malloy, Tom Hartman, the Young Turks, Air America, all these, because I believe that I last week my truck was down, broke down, and I had to spend a week in a motel waiting for it to get fixed, and was stuck using regular radio. And I'll tell you what, it's no wonder that the population of this country, you know, has no belief in anything else. They don't hear anything else.
Right.
And I have just got to the point where when I walk into a truck stop or something, if the only thing they've got on is Fox Radio, I go up to the manager and say, you know, I will not patronize or eat at a place that has that radio station on. When you decide to change the channel, I'll come back. And Flying J is their corporate policy to have Fox on. And I've talked to them, and they say that's the way it is. And I said, no problem. I'll go someplace else.
Wow.
And I think that we just got to do everything we can do to bring a turnabout in some of this nonsense, whatever it means, whatever it takes.
Yeah, and you bring up an excellent point. I mean, it actually kind of ties into what Sophia was saying in a way, too, is that throughout most of America, all you hear is sort of one side of the story, and it's coming from just a small handful of companies, Clear Channel being the worst offender among them. So it's much easier for them to sort of control a message when it's just being controlled by so few people. You know,
it's just we've got to all work together to bring pressure on the media and to support the media that's out there doing a good job,
right,
like yours.
Right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gary. Thanks for hanging around for so long. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Bye now.
Let's go to Prez in San Francisco. Prez, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good.
Listen, I want to say something. Oh, there's so many things to talk about. Thank you so much for having her on. And what is her name again, exactly?
Sophia.
She just
goes by Sophia. She doesn't use her last name.
Okay, I see. And 911mysteries.org or .com
is the website. You can download it, see it right on your computer, or order a copy. I think she sells them for $3 to $5 a piece or something. It's really cheap.
Responding to the, I think it was Gary, your last caller there in Cheyenne.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with him. You've got to do every little thing you can the way you spend your money.
Right, right.
And that is maybe a small effect, but it's something you can do, you know, mm-hmm. and at least it doesn't help them. Like Steve Fisher, the guy that owns the Gap, for example, is a big Bush supporter,
uh-huh.
and people like that. But I want to say something about Zelikow. You know, he is the guy that decided who the 9/11 Commission was going to interview.
Right, right.
Including Condoleezza, who he was working for, the National Security
right.
Advisor.
And they decided to keep William Rodriguez out of there. His testimony was in secret, but they left him out of the report. So, yeah, yeah.
And also, the thing I remember, I'll never forget this, what Condoleezza said. She was a National Security Advisor. When they asked her, when you guys got this briefing and this evidence and these mm-hmm. warnings, she said, well, nobody told us we should do anything.
Right.
I mean, that's her job.
Right.
That was really transparent right there, and there's right. so many things that connect to this. But also to Sophia's, I think, was the even larger point she's talking about, our thinking and the way we've been, I don't call it conditioning. It's like goes back to B.F. Skinner in the Skinner box, mm-hmm. like the mice. It's really basic, like you were saying, lizard brain conditioning, and we've become inured. It reminds me of that movie Brazil where they're taking people, arresting them, putting them in completely zipped-up canvas suits and throwing them in there. And we're getting used to, at the airport, is a great example of what they're conditioning us to. You give away your possessions and everything else,
yeah.
and you never get them back. Why couldn't they put all that stuff in a locked box and you get it back on the other end
right,
when the
right.
plane lands?
Yeah.
They want us to get used to being treated that way.
Yep. Yeah, and, you know, the whole notion of taking off your shoes. Everybody take off, and people just comply, walk up, take off their shoes.
That was a hoax.
Drives me nuts.
Those things, what Richard Reed was a kook. He was well known in the mosque in London that he mm-hmm. came from. That guy, and that those thing wouldn't have worked anyway. Lighting wicks, and it was so absurd.
Right.
And that's just another thing, the way they have us. And then when it was so perfect, I just laughed out loud. It didn't surprise me at all. I'm You know, Lily Tomlin said, "No matter how cynical you are, you'll never keep up."
And I try to be cynical, but I get so hard to keep up.
that was it.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Anyway,
yep.
Remember when Ridge came out with the duct tape and the plastic sheeting?
Yeah. Yep.
That's to show you the sheer helplessness that's supposed to make us feel.
Yeah, and the color code system. You know, we stopped hearing about the color code right after the 04 election. And that wasn't that a strange coincidence? Hey, Prez, thanks for your call, buddy. I got to go to break.
Okay, man. Keep up the good work.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
Okay.
Gosh, who would have thought 6 hours on the air wouldn't be enough time to get to everything? I got a few more calls when we get back. One more segment here on the Mike Malloy Show. Stick around, folks. We're bringing it on home. Hey, we're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show. I understand they're quite fond of the Pink Floyd over here, so I thought I'd throw some of that in there. Let's get just jump right back on the phones here. Kirsten in Aberdeen, Washington, you're up first.
Oh, wow, you surprised me again, Jeff. Every single time. I'm from Women's Standing,
mm-hmm.
and I... You know, it's been a hard day listening to all of this. It's been so hard.
Mm-hmm.
I think more than anything, I want to say to you and to America, wake up, for God in heaven's sake, wake up. If they can create a coup, so can we.
Mm-hmm.
And a man called in to Tom Hartman this morning and mentioned that we should have a work walkout en masse, the entire country. As many people as can stay home, stay home. And do it for as long as you can. And watch things come to a screaming halt. Because there's power in that, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to assert our power. Because obviously they are not going to stop asserting theirs. The second thing I'd like to say is that I listened to the man from, was it Osaka, Japan,
yes. Mm-hmm.
Talk about fire in the belly. God bless him. He's wonderful. I heard a figure today of 95,000 more troops by, I believe, January.
Yeah, they're talking about 200,000 in theater by the end of the year.
Yeah.
Secretly, the secret second surge is what it's being referred to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, what will happen after our country is bare bones with military is that another event will happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be real open. I'm an intuitive, Jeff, and a very good one. I have called the shots on all of this for over a year and watched each thing happen as I have called it to my best friend, and we've been amazed. But I'm feeling this in my blood, Jeff.
Well, it's no coincidence, but I'm sure you heard about the order Bush signed earlier this month. Yep, giving himself more power, anointing himself the commander of all things,
right.
Executive or otherwise, should there be another quote-unquote disaster befalling the country. So, yeah,
and
it wasn't an accident.
Yeah, and then the other thing I'd like to see happen is for all of these troops that they're planning to send to just stand down.
Yeah.
Because they are treasonous, then, you know,
yep.
I guess that would be treasonous for our troops.
Yeah.
But what they are doing is destroying us, and they are willfully doing it, and they are programming us, and they are using its pharmaceuticals, its
mm-hmm.
the fluoride in our drinking water, which puts your brain to sleep, by the way,
yep.
And it's the programming with the color codes and the airports and all of it.
Mm-hmm.
People have got to wake up. They've got to. We're really in grave danger.
Yep.
From our own government, Jeff.
It's frightening, isn't it?
It is, and it's been a really hard day for me, and thank you for letting me pour out my heart. I really like you as a moderator, and thank you for what you do.
Thanks, Kirsten.
God bless you, Jeff.
Thank you. Same there.
Bye.
Bye. Let's go to Vicki in Idaho Falls.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Vicki. How are you?
Oh, fine, thanks. I'm sorry I missed the beginning part of the program, but I really would have liked to have talked to her. But I have a different idea on the funding stream.
Mm-hmm.
The people who reported the $100,000 payment to Muhammad Atta were the Indians. And, of course, the Indians and the Pakistanis are enemies.
Yes, yes.
But Frank Wisner of AIG was working on an initiative with Clinton to get a technology trade agreement with India. And right after 9/11, on November 9th, 2001, George Bush signed a trade agreement with Vajpayee of India, and giving the reason as terrorism.
Wow.
So if you follow the stream, you know, AIG, Frank Wisner,
mm-hmm.
You'll see that how much money was taken out of our economy during the dot-com era, what was going on in Wall Street, and the cost of what happened on 9/11 was petty cash.
Compared, wow.
Yeah, so.
Thanks, Vicki. Appreciate
okay.
that. Take care. Mark in Longview, Washington, you got the last word. You got to make it quick, though.
Yeah, I think it should be up to the public to impeach the president. Maybe we could experiment with a limited power president where, like, we could vote on, like, the war, like, the poll numbers got low enough. We could vote on that issue. And maybe it's part of our human evolution. One day there won't even be the concept of a president because it hasn't been working so far.
Well, this one certainly has shown how bad it can get, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It's... We do have the power to impeach the president. Individual towns can put up impeachment papers, and the Congress has to hear it. So that's part of what's going on now. It's happening state by state, party by party, town, simple towns doing it, and organize one in your town. There's a place on my website just from yesterday, actually, where it kind of gives you links and tells you how to do an impeachment at home kit. So, hey, Mark, I got to let you go.
Okay.
I got the music playing. Got to get out. Thanks, buddy. Hey, I want to thank Ian Huff. Everything you heard came through his nimble fingers this evening. Thank all the hard-working people at Nova M Radio. Special thanks to Viva for supplying me with a chicken sandwich, which kept me alive through this long, long schedule. Honest, whoever thought 6 hours wouldn't be enough time to talk about everything I wanted to talk about tonight. But it wasn't. Thanks to Mike Malloy for letting me sit in the chair tonight. Thanks to all the callers who participated. Special thanks to Sophia for being so generous with her time. And thanks to all of you for listening in. I'll be back at my show tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern, the Jeff Farrier Show on Nova M. Please tune in. Good night.